Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the course of the, 13 plus years that we've been doing this program and the intelligence briefings that we've provided day after day after day, I think there's probably never been one as important as the one we will be having with Dr. Li Mingyan, a Chinese medical researcher and whistleblower who is joining us for this full hour, I'm very pleased to say. You are probably familiar with her work through her appearances at Tucker Carlson's show or Steve Bannon's War Room Pandemic program or elsewhere. She has, since she arrived in this country, having fled her native China back in April 2020, been tirelessly trying to sound an alarm about not only the COVID-19 virus, we call it the CCP virus here, but more broadly, the biological warfare program of the Chinese Communist Party, of which she believes this is a product. I couldn't be more excited to have Dr. Yan with us and to have the chance to visit with her at length. Dr. Yan, thank you for all you do. Thank you for the courage that you have exhibited in the face of very serious death threats and other challenges, and welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me.
I want to start with your personal story to just set the stage a little bit for both how you came to be involved in this vital issue and the expertise that you have accumulated over the years that gives you standing to warn us so authoritatively about what this virus is and whence it came.
Because I'm a medical doctor and also I got my PhD from two of the top medical universities in China. And then later I went to the University of Hong Kong, work in the WHO H5 reference lab and for the virus study and the immunology study. Especially focusing on the influenza universal vaccine study for 5 years. And since I work with a group of the top coronavirus and infectious disease experts from WHO, so when 31st December 2019, I was appointed to a kitchen by my supervisor, Dr. Liu Peng, in lab, to conduct the investigation about the new coronavirus. That time they called it the SARS-like virus because China government blocked all the information and no one can get the updates. So after my investigation involving the CDC in China and also hospitals and research labs, including both from the military and also the civilians, I got the first-hand information combined with my expertise and also my understanding of CCP. And that tells us that first, China was covering up, and later the response from WHO also tell me that they compromised with to do it together. And also, until mid-January, I got enough evidence to show that China was hiding human-to-human transmission, and there will be a lot of variants, and especially if you don't control it in time, there would be outbreak and even pandemic. And also, there is no intermediate host. There is a seafood market. It's just the smoking screen. And most importantly, this virus is coming from the labs and after modifications by the People's Liberation Army. So these are all the things later on I revealed through all the media in Chinese via YouTube, which need a series of very quick response from China government, and they changed the strategies. And after that, we managed to save a lot of lives through this. That's why China government start to notice it. And then until end of April, they decide to disappear me. That's why I need to escape to America and also tell people that this is from Chinese lab and they should know what happened to them.
This is such a fascinating trajectory. So just to recap, you have both a medical degree and a PhD. You have worked in a top laboratory in Hong Kong for the World Health Organization. In the course of your work, after the virus began to manifest itself, you started seeing evidence of what was afoot that was being concealed by the Chinese Communist Party. And you began raising warnings that specifically this disease had been engineered by a laboratory associated with the People's Liberation Army, that it was a biological weapon, and that it was transmissible from human to human and could become a pandemic unless actions were taken to try to prevent that from happening. Have I got that about right? And in the course of all of that, some of it you certainly learned more about and amplified upon after you fled China, but you came to the United States in April 2020 and began trying to make sure that Americans understood what was going on and the mortal danger that Chinese conduct with respect to this virus represents, right?
Yes, exactly.
So let me drill down then on a couple of pieces of this, because I think it's incredibly important to get your informed insights into what we're contending with beyond the virus. And I just would like to ask you from your vantage point in Hong Kong, from your interactions with colleagues, from your experience there, but also your research here, what can you tell us about the biological warfare program of the Chinese Communist Party? They're not supposed to have a biological warfare program under the Biological Weapons Convention, to which the Chinese Communist Party is a party, China is. But tell us what we know, what you know about the size, the scope, and the purposes of this very dangerous capability.
Oh, yeah, Frank. I won't tell that. Actually, at the intelligence report, which is released on Friday by Biden administration, they told that this is not designed as a bioweapon. I think it's not wrong, because according to the evidence and intelligence I got, that it is not designed as traditional bioweapon. I mean, Chinese Communist Party, they spent decades, from 1990s at least, they started to study the laws about bioweapons, including bioweapon convention, and also about terrorism. And then they understand that if they want to do such bio attacks and also get a void of punishment from international societies, they need to design a non-traditional bioweapon. That's why they start to establish the whole theory based on Marxism and also Chinese communism ideology. And then until end of 2014, since Chairman Xi becomes the chairman of CCP, this is accelerated. And there is the astonishing evidence I obtained recently show that they learned how to escape from the biosafety and the biosurveillance system all over the world, including America, Europe, and also Russia. And then they know that they need to manipulate and also corrupt the people, especially the top experts in the scientific field. Then they can help them to cover it up and spread misinformation. And also they learn how to do it as perfect crime.
This is fascinating. And I want you to elaborate on this a little bit if you can. Dr. Yan, you're talking about a deliberate and very cynical effort by the Chinese Communist Party to circumvent their treaty obligations by using a non-traditional kind of biological agent for warfare purposes, and to do so in a way that could be denied and concealed, or at least made unclear the provenance. Witness the kind of findings of this intelligence community report, which said, well, we can't really tell where this CCP virus came from. Have I got that right? And just develop a little bit further, what makes this an unconventional or non-traditional biological warfare agent that that might circumvent those rules?
Oh, yeah, your understanding is right. And I want to explain to people why I define it unrestricted bioweapon from last October, start from my second year report, because this new bioweapon is designed without any constraints, without any limitations, without any consideration of humanity. And the purpose to design it is to be beyond all the traditional bioweapon or the bioterrorism agents. They can use it to achieve their goal to become the dominance in the world. And I need to remind you that in their theory, which is openly published by the Academy of Military Medical Science, this was told that they told that America is their primary enemy. And this unrestricted bioweapon, they have some really new characteristics, which was not really understood by the American, especially your policymakers and the legislators, because China make it. The first thing is this new bioweapon or new bioweapons, they need to look like natural occurring. It looks like from nature. And then the only thing you can deny it is to say this is inconsistent with the nature evolution theory. But they said they can use misinformation and denial to confuse people. And also,
so in other words, just so I'm clear, the agent is designed to be deniable. And that's what really is making it, as you say, an unconventional biological warfare agent. Its deadliness, its transmissibility and other features may be consistent with other kinds of biological warfare instruments, but because it has this uncertain origin, maybe it's a lab, maybe it's not a lab, maybe it's got some host in nature, but we haven't found it yet. I mean, all of that is designed to take advantage of uncertainties that enable the Chinese to get away with murder, as you call it, a perfect crime. Does that sound right?
Yes. For example, let's talk about COVID-19 virus. So this is coronavirus. China studied the conceptions of the bioweapon in the bioweapon convention and also studied the bioterrorism agents list. And then they realized that if you call it traditional bioweapon, then this needs to have these characteristics, including used for military purpose, used in a war, which we don't have the war launched yet, I mean, openly. And also, this people's idea about bioweapon is that it's like a bomb, and suddenly a lot of people died. I mean, the death rate is quite high, but it's not in coronavirus. And also, if you talk about bioterrorism agents, there are lists from America and Europe and Russia, but none of the country would list the coronavirus as a bioterrorism agent. So that's why there is no biodefense system and also no biosensor system against it. And you don't know what to do when it happens. Then China learned this and combined the very lethal characteristics from those bioagents or bioweapons, make it perfect.
So what what you've just described is an unrestricted warfare instrument that they could bring to bear against not just the United States, which is their principal target, as we'll discuss more in a moment, but against the entire world with devastating consequences, and yet perhaps get away with doing so because confirming that they were responsible for this agent is difficult to do, especially if you don't have proper access to their scientists and data and laboratories. And you know about all of those scientists and laboratories and research from having been, you know, involved in similar related work at the World Health Organization Reference Laboratory, I take it. And that gives rise to your principal conclusion here, is that this was a proof of concept, a dry run, a dress rehearsal, whatever you want to call it, perhaps for far more extensive and deadly biological warfare activities against this country or perhaps various other ethnicities around the world. Is that right, Dr. Young?
Yes. So that's why I said in this unrestricted bioweapon program, only has this new bioterrorism of unrestricted bioweapon is not enough. You must have this misinformation to help you. For example, if we don't have Peter Daszak, we don't have Dr. Fauci to keep misleading Americans, I can tell you that the death toll and the treatment would be much better than we see now. But they compromised with China, and that is China spent decades trying to do, and yet they achieved it. So China also knows that. That's why they manipulate properties like WHO and also NIH and also like Johns Hopkins University. They talked about that, and they know they when they control these organizations, they can use them to help to amplify the power of unrestricted bioweapons.
So again, let me just clarify, because this is such an important point. We have learned in the course of the past year and a half that Dr. Anthony Fauci and some of the researchers that he funded have been directly involved in the Wuhan Institute of Virology's gain of research, as it's called, experimentation. And that means that they have been implicated, they have been compromised. And what you're saying, Dr. Yan, as I understand it, is that as a result of those compromises, as a result of that, you know, implication of their own activities in some of this research and what has flowed from it, they've had both an incentive to try to obscure what's been going on and have been utilized very effectively by the Chinese Communist Party to try to disinform the rest of us and enable the CCP to get away with murder. Have I got that right?
Yes. And these American scientists like Anthony Fauci, Peter Daszak, Ralph Barrett, Christian Anderson, these people, they are actually the tools for CCP. Because Chinese Communist Party knows they need to achieve their goal. They need to grab the knowledge and also money from America and use these people. And these people, to be honest, they are not allowed to touch the top confidential secrets because Chinese Communist Party never trust foreigners. They just use you. But Chinese Communist Party also use military civil fusion to infiltrate America. And with the help from these people, they can grab the intellectual properties and also your money, the network, very easily.
I want to just do a shout out to Dr. Lawrence Sellin, who we've had on the program a few times, including recently on this subject. And I want to thank him for putting us in touch with you, Dr. Yan, because I know he's been working with you and your team, and I so appreciate your expertise as well as his. But one of the things that he has documented, as you know, is the extensive penetration by these Chinese biological warfare scientists and researchers of the People's Liberation Army inside U.S. institutions, not just the Wuhan Institute and its counterparts. And there are quite a number of them. He's identified, I think, 20 or so at the minimum, in our research laboratories, our universities, and other medical centers. And to what extent is that a powerful force multiplier for the problem that you've just discussed with Fauci and Dashik and Barak and so on in the Wuhan context?
Oh, I really want to say that Colonel Salling is a real patriot because he has done a lot of brilliant jobs and he's so brave, and I really admire him very much. And the thing I want to emphasize is because he has deeply involved into the investigation about the CCP's unrestricted bioweapon program, and also discovered a massive infiltration network from military in China to America that make China government very angry. So he was smeared online and attacked online. And also because his help, he helped me, and then he also suffered a lot. I really want to thank him. I want to say it. Yeah, this is massive infiltration, and the network is definitely beyond your imagination. For example, I'm telling you, in New York, in Manhattan, there is New York Blood Center. That is a center, if you work inside as a senior scientist, you can get access to the genetic data from the blood samples of Americans. And in that center, there are a group of military scientists from CCP. They worked there for over 10 years, and they deeply get involved into the unrestricted bioweapon program, especially about coronavirus in China. They are still there.
Do you have a sense of the kind of technology transfer, the intellectual property theft and the like that has taken place as a result of that penetration, Dr. Yang?
It's various, and actually I noticed it even before it happened, but that was not so clear at that time because I'm not involved into such program. But according to my expertise and the evidence I got later, that it can happen. For example, the military knows that they can change the identities of their scientists. So they give them the cover as a civilian scientist and then change their background. And these people would work with American scientists in this area. And also, when they came to this lab in America, they will establish the good relationships with the principal investigators and his network. Then they will invite such scientists to go to the conference, especially go visit China, and then China will show the respect to them, give them opportunities to help them develop their research in China. And that's why it's like migration, go back to China.
As Dr. Salin calls it, scientific chain migration, in fact.
Bringing
more and more of these Chinese scientists here. Let me go back, if I can, with you, just to the macro problem of this biological warfare program and capability in China. Dr. Liming Yang, I have been told that a former defense minister of China, by the name of General Qi Haotian, gave a closed-door speech to party cadre back in the early 2000s when he was in office as defense minister, in which he is alleged to have said, Deng Xiaoping, the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party back in the early 1990s, put this program in motion for a very specific purpose. You've talked about the Chinese Communist Party's ambition to achieve global domination. But specifically, according to a transcript of the speech by Qi Haotian, Deng's purpose was to depopulate the United States with biological weapons so as to allow it to be colonized by the Chinese and its excess population. Do you have any insight into whether that's true or not? Does it sound right to you? Let alone, can you help validate it in any way?
Oh, yeah, I know that. And I can tell you that that is not just because Deng or Chi Haotian. That is because they are all CCP members. And as long as the Chinese Communist Party exists, such communism and Marxism ideology exists, these kind of motions always exist. That's why from Deng and Chi until Xi, you see, after 20, 30 years, China develops such unrestricted bioweapon much better than you expected. Back to 1990s, when they talk about it, they use very clear word to talk about depopulation and the bioweapon. But until now, Chairman Xi and the researchers in militaries, when they study the Laos and when they study the American policy, yeah, they really focus on American policies and American situations. They realize that this has to be done under the cover of biosecurity to get to avoid of the punishment. That's why they said we are doing biodefense. We are doing the study to prevent some disease. We are doing it to study vaccine. But then actually, they developed the unrestricted bioweapons. One of the products is coronavirus COVID-19, we say no. And they are still working on many other things in their labs.
That's a particularly chilling thought. This is not the only virus they've been cooking up, and probably not the worst of them either. Dr. Yan, our mutual friend Gordon Chang has reported on a number of publications in the open literature, Chinese PLA publications, medical studies, and other academic ones, I believe, in which the Chinese talk very openly about this idea of tailoring biological agents to eliminate certain ethnicities. I know you have a military document that you've also been poring over from China. Tell us what you know about that particular point, which is, I think, reinforcing what we were told by Chi Haotian about Deng's purpose, but could apply to others as well. I mean, it's perhaps the Uyghur Muslims in Western China, perhaps it's Tibetans, perhaps it's others, Caucasians, who knows?
Oh, Gordon actually is a very great expert. I mean, he helped me a lot, and he's very respectful, and of course, China treat him as enemy too. He's always the target for Chinese Communist Party and their propaganda campaign. And I can tell you that China's this goal to make dominant in the world is not only to be achieved through the unrestricted bioweapon. This is one and also very important tool for them to reach it. Also, their infiltration to your, for example, biotech and also think tanks and other very important organizations or authorities are also very, very important. So China combined all these kind of tactics.
This is really the definition of unrestricted warfare, is that it's no holds barred. It's not just the biological warfare threat.
Yes, and what I want to emphasize is the recent recent document published by the PLA I obtained. I mean, they talk about things happened in 2014. They already know that they should divide America because, as I said, America is their primary enemy. And if they want to be dominant, and because America is so strong, America has democracy, has freedom. So they understand they have to divide it. They have to study the policies and they understand the political situation and they want to infiltrate the think tank to change the policy making in America. And they need to let Americans fight.
I want to develop this with you at some length here, Dr. Yan, because it's such an important insight into what we're up against. And this is a classic element of Marxism and Maoism, is it not? This sort of divide and conquer strategy. And to the extent that the Chinese Communist Party is doing that, public policy is clearly one of the objects of the exercise. And whether it's think tanks or whether it's the executive branch of the United States government compromising, you know, politicians like Joe Biden, for that matter, and many in his senior, subordinate ranks. And then, of course, not least, influencing the Congress as well. Eric Swalwell comes to mind as someone who has been terribly compromised, a member of the House Intelligence Committee, but there are many others as well. Just discuss a little bit what that strategy entails when you're talking about influence operations aimed at affecting American public policy towards China.
For example, they know that when they study the policies and the politics status in America, they know that America, the two parties, although they have a lot of difference, but they share the same value in the specific viewpoint, especially about weapons. So they know if they want to make America divide, they have and also make this kind of bioreagent attack America. So they need to let these two parties fight with each other more in these viewpoints. And then they also know that president election is the right time for them to conduct such things, because that is a point that both parties will argue for many issues. And also they know that mandate is a very good tool to make people dividing, because people will always worry about whether have mask or not, whether have lockdown or not, whether have vaccine or not. So these are all their very specific strategies.
And on this mandates question, let me just ask you, and Dr. Yan, this is not necessarily a medical question, but it's one that I'm sure you're very much familiar with, and that is the Chinese Communist Party adopted a very brutally repressive, in fact, fully totalitarian crackdown or lockdown, if you will, when the Wuhan virus first appeared. They allowed, famously, people to leave from Wuhan to go all over the world, but they were very restrictive in terms of their movements inside China. That became the template, it seems, for lockdowns by other governments elsewhere around the world, not just here in the United States, but in Europe and, you know, New Zealand and lots of other places besides. And to the extent that this was a means of sort of insinuating the Chinese style of not just, you know, public health policy, but more generally its repressive system of governance. It was a masterstroke, it seems to me, in advancing the Chinese goal of world domination. And I'd ask you in particular in this regard, Dr. Yan, to talk about something called the social credit system of China, and whether, when you talk about mandates, mandating vaccine passports may be a very seductive, very powerful way of bringing that kind of totalitarian control mechanism inside Western countries like ours.
Actually, China knows that this kind of lockdown is the way to deliver their communism ideology, to push people be obedient. And also China knows that they develop such unrestricted bioweapon. They want it even everlasting among populations. And because this is not specific genetic targeting, we Chinese are also vulnerable. That's why they have to use such tools to control the spreading in China. And also, they know that because the regime in China is centralized, and that makes it more effective against such pandemic. And when the other country also suffer from the pandemic, they need to find out an efficient way, and that is a great chance for CCP to spread their, deliver their communism ideology to other democratic countries, because they make the chaos, they make the panic, they make social disorder and economic breaking down, and the government has no idea what to do. So they are forced to learn this and to apply it in their countries. That's the.
It's another kind of virus, in other words, wasn't it? The ideological virus that was spread. And I want to commend to our listeners, and I don't know if you've seen it, Dr. Yan, but Michael Sanger wrote a very interesting piece in Tablet magazine on the 29th of August, an online resource. I think it's tablet.com, if I'm not mistaken, entitled The Mask Ball of Cowardice. And he basically makes this point that the Chinese created the template for lockdowns, and that it was never used in Western public health heretofore, but it was immediately adopted in this country as well as many others, as I mentioned. Does that track with your understanding as well, that until Xi sort of innovated this approach and then began promoting through the WHO and their, you know, influence operations, disinformation, and so on, that this was the appropriate response to COVID-19, that it began to, well, metastasize, I guess is the way you might put it, worldwide?
Actually, lockdown is an emergency method to apply the outbreak in a local place, and it should be applied in a short time, which not cause too much damage for the local society. But China definitely developed it. They conduct it in China in a very brutal and cruel ways. It's like people are locked at home without food, cannot go out to get treated, so they can just die at home. But China doesn't care, because that is CCP. They never care about people's lives. But somehow, China knows if they want to apply such things to promote their ideology, they need the misinformation campaign's help. That include NIH, like Dr. Fauci, and also the scientists are manipulated by China, like, and also the organizations like WHO. Imagine without their help, how could such lockdown with information are applied again and again in Western countries? Right.
No, that's such a key point. And a related one is the value of big tech platforms, collaboration in controlling, manipulating, suppressing information about the virus. Would you say that this is another facet of China's unrestricted warfare, given the ties between the CCP and the big tech giants in the United States?
Yes, such invisible ways are how China try to conquer the world. They know they cannot compete with America in a battle, real battle, but they know they can use such invisible, unrestricted way to damage America, to change America. So that's why they have already planned years to infiltrate such big techs. And also, for example, in Facebook, there are a lot of Chinese people. There are even CCP members. They hide their identities, working there, doing the fact check, or something they call the speech censorship. And censorship is very important to let you shut up, silence, and finally turn all the things become propaganda and brainwash to the people.
Yeah, suppressing misinformation, I think, is the term that's been used a lot here. And it, again, is a very insidious complement to other facets of China's unrestricted warfare against us. But unfortunately, it's not the only example of corporations in the United States throwing in with the Chinese Communist Party. I've been very concerned, as has our Committee on the Present Danger of China, Dr. Yan, about Wall Street, the capital markets of the United States, being put in the service of the Chinese Communist Party. And that seems to have only intensified In the wake of this COVID experience, you have people who manage Americans' monies insisting that the Chinese model is superior to our own, and investments need to continue to be increased in China, even in the face of Xi Jinping's efforts to manipulate the markets and in so doing, punish Western investors. Are you tracking that, among other things? And does this fit the larger pattern of which you're speaking, of unrestricted warfare?
Oh, yeah. China actually just is still using those people. As we know, the communism ideology is to eliminate all the capitalism. So the capital market in America, no matter Wall Street or others, I mean, they are just now being used by China. It seems China shares the benefits with them, but no, see the history of communism and Marxism, they will use you, and until they become very strong, they will eat you. And none of these people who helped CCP would escape, because none of the people under the Communist Party can escape. Even Chairman Xi is living in a very insecure status. They have to kill each other. They don't trust each other. That is a fact. So if they are helping Chinese Communist Party now, they are setting the future of themselves and also their kids.
Fascinating. And we are hearing reports that Xi's hold on power may not be as secure as he would like it to be, for sure, and like to have us think it is. And this is something that, it seems to me, is part and parcel of how we must respond to all of this, is to further intensify the difficulties he has exercising full control of the Chinese Communist Party and the people it misrules. Let me go back to one other thing that I think is important in this larger context of dividing the United States, weakening us, undermining us as part of the larger unrestricted warfare strategy. You've talked about, Dr. Yan, the use of this so-called critical race theory, training and indoctrination in our educational system. How does that fit into the larger sort of doctrine of the Chinese Communist Party, Maoism, Marxism for that matter, class warfare, if you will? And how insidious is it at a time when we're struggling to contend with the virus and so many other threats from the Chinese Communist Party?
For example, are teaching people that we are separated by the colors, and they always make people have one color to hate another group. And that is so-called class. And China uses this kind of class to divide people, to make them feel they are the people have the same characteristics, and they're different, so they have to fight against the other groups. And actually,
the other is the operative word, defining people as the other and essentially dividing you from them and making them your enemy and figuring out what you can do to harm them, I think is all part and parcel of this this doctrine, is it not?
Yes, and actually China just used them. And once one group fight against and win, China will further develop the group. For example, they want to say, you are white, and then later, if the white people win, they will divide you into the deep white or light white. And then again, they will further develop until you all fight against each other and exhausted. You have no energy to think about anything else. And China already brainwashed you and totally can control you, and also remove the unnecessary population they cannot control.
And again, in furtherance of this larger agenda of global domination, and the United States is, of course, at the forefront of those it must overcome, conquer, destroy, if it's to rule the rest of the world as it seeks to do. Dr. Yan, we're almost out of time. We've had such an incredibly rich conversation, but I did want to leave a few minutes for you to talk a bit about what you would recommend the United States do at a moment like this, in the face of the sorts of unrestricted warfare the Chinese Communist Party has been waging against us for decades, and in particular in the wake of this CCP virus?
Oh, yeah. America actually is a beacon of the light in the world, in all over the world for freedom. So I really want first, American people should understand they still have the freedom and democracy, although it's not perfect, but you should value it. And you should realize that you're actually in a very urgent time. CCP focusing on you, and they launched such attacks using propaganda, using unrestricted bioweapons, using all these kind of means they can do. If you don't fight against it, if you still cannot realize how evil CCP is, then it will be late. And also, according to my knowledge, since I start contact the people in the Congress, I contact the senators team, I contact the policymakers and legislators in America, after talking, I realized that CCP's perfect crime actually is the biggest problem for them because they don't know how to deal with that. So China study your own systems. They know the weakness. Then you need to understand that you have to update it. For example, bioweapon is the old concept, and you have to improve it to unrestricted bioweapon and make your law and also your policies based on the new concepts. China developed it. You have to find the new way to fight against it. And that takes time, but you have to do it as soon as possible. And you have to understand the infiltration in America is so seriously. And you have to first deal with these things. And you cannot let such parasite, or you can call it cancer cells, growing in America to help China. All
spike
the things
proteins.
Have to be done.
Yeah. Dr. Yuan, this is such an important call to action, really. And I so salute you and thank you for what you have been doing and saying since you came to the United States in particular. And I know it has not been easy. I know you've had, as I said earlier, terrible threats against you, including from family members. And your courage, your clarity, you know, relentless efforts to warn this country of what is afoot and how high the stakes are for all of us is so appreciated and so urgently needed. And I just wanted to say that in this connection, as we speak, it's still in prospect, but when this program airs, it will have been accomplished, I hope. We're doing a webinar in the course of today at the Committee on the Present Danger China's website, presentdangerchina.org, on the CCP threat in the aftermath of President Biden's defeat in Afghanistan. And I really commend it to all of our listeners and to you, Dr. Yuan. Dr. Lawrence Sellin is going to be among those who will be participating in it as it happens. But it's a first-rate group of experts who will be thinking about both the nature of the unrestricted warfare that you've described so well, Dr. Yuan, that the Chinese Communist Party is, as we speak, waging on an intensified basis through the biological weapons facet, but in so many other ways as well. And we'll go through quite a number of them. And we'll also identify things that the United States must do to counter such threats. And I hope that it will complement and powerfully affirm, Dr. Yuan, your important messages and clear-eyed warnings. And I hope you'll take a look at it as well and perhaps help us pass it along. Dr. Li Mingyan, thank you again for joining us for this full hour of Secure Freedom Radio. It has been, as I thought it would be, rivetingly important and educational, and I hope all of us will have a chance to talk with you about your work, your insights, your recommendations again in the very near future. In the meantime, thank you. Stay well, keep up the great work, and Godspeed. And thanks to the rest of you for listening today and every day, I hope. I hope you'll do so again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afty. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Providentially, and to the U.S. military's credit, its last evacuation flight from Kabul was able to depart Afghan airspace without incident. Now, the damage assessment must begin, starting with who has been left behind and what the Taliban and other Sharia supremacists will do to them. That assessment must also address how this rout came to pass. President Biden deflects blame and has yet to hold any of his subordinates accountable, apart from Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, who demanded their accountability and was summarily relieved of his command. The Committee on the Present Danger China is providing its own damage assessment today with a webinar from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, reviewing how the threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party will be affected by Biden's Afghan defeat. Find out what it will mean for you and the rest of us at presentdangerchina.org. This is Frank Gaffney.
Night after night, in cities across the country, black garbed assailants clash with police in the streets, smash windows, and throw Molotov cocktails in an effort to destroy police stations, federal courthouses, and local businesses, all in the name of anti-fascism. Most Americans are now, sadly, all too aware of the movement known as Antifa. But where did they come from? What do they want? And how do we stop their campaign of violent mayhem? The Center for Security Policy Press is proud to present Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat. This new book looks at the history, ideology, organization, finances, and strategy of Antifa and provides an in-depth analysis for law enforcement officers, policymakers, and the general public. From street fighting tactics of the Black Bloc to fundraising by prominent left-wing foundations, Unmasking Antifa is the go-to guide to understand this elusive and dangerous threat. Get your copy of Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat at Amazon.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with a word about a truly great American patriot in urgent need. Rich Higgins served in the U.S. Army and as a key civilian Pentagon official and senior strategist on President Trump's National Security Council. After he left the NSC, Rich continued advising Mr. Trump and others about the threats we are facing from enemies, foreign and domestic. He chronicled his experiences over the past 20 years fighting for America First in a terrific memoir entitled The Memo. Now this courageous freedom fighter is gravely ill due to severe complications caused by the Chinese Communist Party virus. He urgently needs help to defray the enormous costs of successive surgeries and a prospective organ transplant. I urge you to join me in contributing to a GoFundMe campaign named Medical Help for Rich Higgins. That's Medical Help for Rich Higgins at GoFundMe.com. God bless you, and Rich Higgins.